Thank you very much, Lynn. And hello, everyone. Welcome to our quarterly member meeting. I have several things I'm going to share with you guys tonight. One is I'm going to share an update regarding our application for church status. I'm also going to share some changes on the member board of trustees. Some people have left and some people have come, so I'll share all about that. I'll give you a financial status review. An update about our upcoming fall retreat. And also, I'm going to announce who is going to be our satsang guest next Sunday night at the same time, next Sunday night at 8 p.m. So that's the agenda for the quarterly meeting. And then, of course, if you guys have any questions, any feedback, anything at all, if it has to do with the topic I'm currently talking about, just please put up your hand then. If not, then at the end, if it's just something that's not on the agenda but something you want to bring up, then at the end you can do that. How's that sound? But, yeah, I'd love it if the meeting is interactive, if there's something that comes to you to share. All right, so first I want to share regarding the update for our application for church status. We actually sent our application for church status to the IRS in December, but I guess when it arrives, it's in this long queue, and they didn't actually pick it up and start looking at it until May. And then late July, they wrote us a letter. And basically the letter is what is called a request for information. And the gist of the letter was that they were not turning us down, by the way. This is still within the review process. But basically what they were sharing, their current point of view, which was that we do not qualify as a church because we do not meet in a physical location. You know, like if we could all gather in the same building every Sunday morning, then we would be a church. But because we do not meet in a physical location, their current opinion was that we are not a church. Again, this was not turning us down. This was just letting us know their thinking and then asking us to respond with more information about, you know, why we feel we are a church. So we worked on this response to request for information in August. It was a lot of hard work, a lot of hours, many, many hours of work very quickly, because they give you a deadline and you have to give everything that you want to give them within that short deadline. But we were able to meet the deadline, and I'm going to share with you a little bit of what we gave them. We have not heard back from them, so we do not know how they will respond to our response. But let me just share with you some of what we gave them. First of all, as a cover letter to our response, and by the way, our response to them was about 6 inches tall when you stack the documents up. It was a very hefty response. So there was a cover letter, and even my cover letter to the response has 5 pages. I'm not going to read all of that to you, but I do want to read some of this so you'll get the gist of what we are sharing with them. So this starts about the third paragraph into the letter and goes through the 3/4 of the first page and most of the second page of the letter. So here we go. Originally, of course you guys may know, but let me just say in case you have forgotten, Awakening Together is a doing business name. Our legal name is and always has been the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk to the IRS, we call ourselves the Foundation for the Holy Spirit, and then we often put in parentheses doing business as Awakening Together. And the Foundation for the Holy Spirit has had 501c3 religious organization status since 2006, which means we're already a tax-deductible organization. So here's how the letter goes, or part of the letter. Originally, the function of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit was to share the teachings of Regina Dawn Akers. In 2012, I was guided into a year of increased silence. During this time, I spent hours per day contemplating the works of Hindu masters while simultaneously going deeper into the inner spiritual wisdom that sprung forth into consciousness from within myself. Basically, this was the year that I was doing the 7 steps to awakening all day, every day. It was during this year that I became acutely aware that there is one voice for God that speaks to and through many teachers, sages, and masters from all times, all religions, and all cultures. In short, I came to see that there aren't many truths. There is really only one truth. Although the masters of each faith may appear to have traveled different paths and spoken of different gods, all true masters end up at the same spiritual destination with the same one realization, which is truth. This truth is identified in the writings of spiritual masters who came out of the Catholic faith, Protestant faiths, Jewish faith, Buddhist faith, Hindu faith, and Islamic faith, to name a few. In summary, I came to see there is no separation in truth. In December of 2012, without any intention on my part, I received guidance from within to start a new church. The name, purpose, and core values were all given to me without thought on my part. They were received from the inner voice for God. At first, I had great personal resistance to this guidance. I thought of churches as that which separated truth into different theologies, and I did not want to be a part of the separation mechanism. Oops, did the mic go away? Hold on. Are you able to hear me now? Are you able to hear me? No one can hear me? Hold on then. Are you able to hear me now? Yes. Okay, good. I'm not sure where you quit hearing me, but let me just continue with the letter. Hopefully this will be okay. I'm going to start at the beginning of the third paragraph. In December of 2012, without any intention on my part, I received guidance from within to start a new church. The name, purpose, and core values were all given to me without thought on my part. They were received from the inner voice for God. At first, I had great personal resistance to this guidance. I thought of churches as that which separated truth into different theologies, and I did not want to be a part of the separation mechanism. However, as I continued to resist, the guidance continued to come, and I was guided to look up the history of the word church. I found that church is derived from the Greek word ecclesia. Further research identified that ecclesia refers to a regular assembly of people with a shared common purpose. Upon finding this definition, I came to understand the guidance I have received. As mentioned, the Foundation for the Holy Spirit was originally organized based on my teachings. I was the center focal point of the organization, and everyone who donated to it was a recipient of my teachings. This focus, however, did not fully recognize or embrace the truth of God in all. No longer were we to be an organization of one-way teachings from one person. It was time to gather everyone under one common purpose and five shared values, regardless of their traditional religious faith or culture, to share and express the voice for God as it comes through them. We were to be an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Needless to say, at this point, the Foundation for the Holy Spirit began a radical transformation in order to achieve its new purpose. First of all, Awakening Together was adopted as our new Doing Business As name. It seemed a purely Christian name, such as the Foundation for the Holy Spirit, was not fully appropriate to our new God-given purpose, which transcends any one separate religion. Secondly, we began to reorganize everything so that we had a fully associational church organization that was in full alignment with our purpose and shared values. We needed to make sure that everyone could participate as equals, both spiritually and as human beings, in our new church. A team of willing people formed in order to build our church. These people became Awakening Together's founding directors and trustees. Our first order of business was to develop a constitution. In the process of developing our constitution, there were many discussions. It was during this time that we considered starting a physical church at our headquarters in Pueblo, Colorado. After all, I have a small group that meets in Pueblo weekly, and it has done so for years. We thought that maybe that group could become the basis of our church. However, conscience would not allow such a decision. The people who were to become the first members of Awakening Together had already been meeting online in an interactive virtual room in Paltalk for nearly 10 years. A close spiritual community already existed and met regularly. These individuals were located all over the United States and in other countries. To start a small physical church that benefited a handful of people in Pueblo, a physical church in which most of our spiritual brothers and sisters could not attend, was unconscionable. It became apparent that physicality is simply another means of separation. Awakening Together, as its name implies, is a church that unites people of faith under one shared purpose. Our sanctuary, our place of assembly, must accommodate this same purpose. It was apparent that an interactive online sanctuary was the only meeting place that would meet our spiritual needs as a church community. And again, the letter goes on from there. It's a long letter, and I'm willing to send it to anyone, by the way. If anyone wants to read this letter, just email me, and I will send it to you. We just don't have time to read all of it, but that was the main point of the letter, and so I wanted to share that with you. So again, the IRS has said their main opinion is that we cannot be called a church because we do not meet in a physical location, and as you see, the letter addresses that, saying that that's unconscionable for us because it would separate us, and when we're online, we're able to be joined. In addition to this letter, though, we also needed to provide the IRS with a legal argument. And so we also developed a legal argument. And in fact, Jacqueline Eckert was the primary writer of this legal argument. Barb Dearwater also provided some assistance in putting this together. And again, it's a very long legal argument. In fact, it's 22 pages long, so I won't be able to share all of it with you, but I want to share a little bit with you so that you get the taste of what our legal argument was or is to the IRS. Oh, Robbie wants me to write that down right now. RobbieStarman@AOL.com. Let me write that down. RobbieStarman@AOL.com. Wants the letter. All right, Robbie, I got you down. And if everybody else could just email me at reginadonacres@yahoo.com, that would be easier than me writing everybody's name down. But I got you, Robbie. Okay? All right, so here's part of the 22-page legal argument. First of all, in the legal argument, it is mentioned that according to the IRS documents, there is not a definition of church. The IRS does not define church. In fact, it says an organization qualifies as a church only if its principal purpose or function is that of a church. And since it doesn't define church, it's kind of a looped statement, right? An organization qualifies as a church only if its principal purpose or function is that of a church. And so since church is not clearly defined, there have been many, many court cases where the IRS has said you are not a church. And then someone goes to court saying, yes, we are a church. And some of these court cases are found in favor of the IRS. Some are found in favor of the church. But what we did, or what Jacqueline especially did, was look at these court cases and determine how they fit with our argument. And so I'm going to share a little bit from these court cases with you. One is a court case called the American Guidance Foundation versus the United States. And in this court case, the court said, at a minimum, a church includes a body of believers or communicants that assemble regularly in order to worship. This associational role, meaning that we assemble, we communicate together and assemble regularly in order to worship, this is what the court says separates a church from other forms of religious enterprise. So again, Foundation for the Holy Spirit is already a religious organization and has been since 2006. We're saying the reason we're more than a religious organization, the reason that we are a church, is because we do assemble regularly, communicating with one another in order to worship. So that's what they said a church should do in that court case, and we're saying that's what we do. And in fact, this morning's weekly gathering was a perfect example, because this morning, Jay asked for hands, and gosh, I can't even in my head quickly count how many people rose their hands and spoke as a part of that weekly gathering. I remember Lynn spoke. I remember Jacqueline spoke. I remember Dolores spoke. I remember Dances spoke. And I know I'm leaving one or two people out. I mean, and so the fact that we can get together and join together in an associational way, communicating, Iris spoke, right? You know, the fact that we get together and join together, that separates us. Sonia spoke, thank you. That separates us as a church instead of a religious organization based on this court case. And so that's why we quoted this court case in our legal response to the IRS. Here's another really interesting court case. This is Chapman versus Commissioner is the name of the case. And in this, the court clearly rejected the necessity of a physical structure in order to be a church, stating that its holding was not to imply that in order to be constituted a church, a group must have an organizational hierarchy or maintain church buildings. So again, we have in our argument that actually the courts have decided you don't have to have a physical place, and we don't have a physical place. So, but they said you don't have to, so that should be okay. Also, it's important to know that the IRS generally looks at 14 criteria to determine if you're a church. You do not have to meet all 14 criteria, but you need to meet a number of them. We actually meet 12 of the 14 criteria. I'll quickly go over the criteria, and of course this is all in our legal argument as well. But a distinct legal existence, and we were incorporated as a legal organization in the state of North Carolina in 2006. A recognized creed and form of worship. That's our shared purpose and our five core values. A definite and distinct ecclesiastical government. That's our two boards, our board of directors and our member board of trustees. A formal code of doctrine and discipline. That's covered in our policies and procedures. A distinct religious history. That's basically the story of, Regina Dawn Akers writing NTI, receiving guidance to start Foundation for the Holy Spirit, then having this year of silence and then receiving guidance to start the church, as well as it includes Dove, David Fishman, and how he started ACIM Gather and, that 10-year history, and then how that became a part of Awakening Together. So it's kind of that whole history of how we came to be where we are today. Let's see, number six, a membership not associated with any other church or denomination. This is one of the two criteria we do not meet, because we do allow our members to not only be a member with us, but to be a member with another church or organization. Again, there's only two of these criteria we don't meet. This is one of them. Number seven, an organization of ordained ministers. We do have several ordained ministers. In fact, you can see them on our website at awakeningtogether.org. In fact, let me just read to you who our current ordained ministers are. I can get there very quickly. Our current ordained ministers are Regina Don Akers, Phil Frisk, David Fishman, Jacqueline Eckert, Jay McCormick, Nikki Dobson, David Hempel, Jennifer Miley Nahulu, and that's it for now. Those are the ordained ministers. But we have several other people in MPP who will be ordained. But that's our ordained ministers now. Let's see, number 9, a literature of its own. Awakening Together owns the copyright for NTI and the teachings of Inner Ramana, so we do have our own literature. Number 10, established places of worship. We are saying we do meet this criteria, and this online room, the sanctuary, is our established place of worship, and this is what the IRS is currently disagreeing on, so we'll see how this works out. Number 11, regular congregations. That's referring to having members, and we do have members. We have over 500 members. Regular religious services. We have our weekly gathering, our weekly prayer circle, and our daily contemplation, as well as we included our daily NTI study that we do in the morning, since NTI is our own religious literature. Number 13, Sunday schools for the religious instruction of the young. That's the second criteria we do not meet. We do not have that. And then number 14, schools for the preparation of its ministers. We do have that. That's our MPP program. And again, the IRS does not say that you need to meet all 14. You just need to meet a substantial number of them, and we do. We meet 12 of them. And again, this is our legal argument. The legal argument continues from there. But basically, we have one more court case. Let me share with you quickly. The Church of Eternal Life and Liberty versus the Commissioner. Out of that case, they said, the court says that a church is a coherent group of individuals and families that join together to accomplish the religious purposes of mutually held beliefs. And that we do. We are a coherent group that joins together to accomplish the religious purposes of mutually held beliefs. And those mutually held beliefs are, again, our purpose and our five core values. So a really quick overview of what that legal argument looks like. Like I said, it's 22 pages long. But we will see. And then we have lots and lots of supporting documentation. For example, you may remember we asked for letters from members. And we sent them 43 letters from members. We also sent them a copy of our Constitution, our Articles of Incorporation, our policies and procedures, our member roster to show our over 500 members. We sent a copy of our Sanctuary Comment Board to show how you all interact by typing from one particular day. We sent 4 audios of our weekly gatherings. We sent in our first ordination ceremony audio, the schedule of presenters that's on our website, a trifold brochure that Lynn designed, as well as we sent them copies of NTI, Inner Ramana, and also Thoughts of Awakening, since those are our unique religious literature. And we'll see. I believe they have to respond to us by sometime in October. So we'll see what happens. We also sent them our MPP program. So they got a copy of that too, all of our MPP courses. So Lynn says, if you feel so inclined, would you lead us in a prayer for acceptance? And you mean acceptance of church status. Well, I'll tell you what, Lynn, here's what I'll do. I personally do not pray for desired outcomes. What I like to do is I like to hold a stillness in prayer, and in that stillness, trust that the good of all will come through the stillness, through me letting go of my desired outcome and just being still. So why don't we do that? Why don't we take a moment of stillness? I'll end it with an amen. And in this moment of stillness, let's do our best not to have opinions for or against. Let's do our best to be empty, to be still. If thoughts come into the mind, let them go. Return to stillness and hold to trust. Yeah, thy will be done. That's it. This is a thy will be done stillness period. All right? Let's begin. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And thank you, Lynn, for that suggestion. Beautiful. No monkeys, Robbie said. All right. Does anybody have anything they want to ask or share regarding everything I've just shared about our application for church status before I move on to the next thing on our quarterly meeting agenda? If so, please just put your hand up, and I will turn the mic over to you. Jacqueline is asking, have we heard from the IRS at all? And the answer is no, we have not, since we submitted our legal argument. We haven't heard anything, but I will tell you all that they are required to read everything that we submit. And we submitted, as I mentioned, 6 inches at least, 6 inches of documents. So it's probably going to take a bit of time before they're ready to get back to us. Yeah. I wasn't expecting a quick response. but they will get back to us. They have to. They have no choice. That's the law. We follow the law and they follow the law. Yeah, Jacqueline says, even if they don't grant our church status, they will be greatly enlightened. All right, then. Since it appears there's no other comments or questions, I'm going to move on to the next part of our agenda, and that is all about changes to our member board of trustees. Since May, we have had several resignations, and then we also voted on 3 new people. I'm going to actually read to you the letters of resignation from those who resigned from the member board of trustees, so you can hear exactly in their own words why they said they were resigning. So the first person that resigned from the member board of trustees was David Hempel. His resignation was effective May 22nd, 2015, and this is what David wrote. Dear Trustee Board, as a board, we have created Awakening Together. From web page designs, menu items, links, and pages to MPP with its books, questions, and tests. We have had successful retreats and thousands of hours of teaching in our online sanctuary. As a board, we have taken on many endeavors and have championed them all. It is with a solemn heart, then, that I submit my letter of resignation. My years with Awakening Together have been beloved years, but as my life continues forward and I immerse myself in the Oklahoma State University, I find that the opportunity to mingle with thousands in my campus, travel, lead, feast, learn, and explore with fervor and grace is too great to pass up. Every moment in my life is unique, and so just as I've adored the unique time with Awakening Together, it is time for my uniqueness to be expressed in the world as a college body. I will surely be in contact with Awakening Together, and my absence will seem to be a myth at best. What is now 2 meetings a month will become 1 meeting a month, and so it will seem there are only 12 days a year that I am missing. The relatively low count in days is altogether negligible when one considers our same presence being expressed through the heart. As our lives move on, shape, and shift the way lives do, I will be forever grateful for the time, tears, and laughter spent as an Awakening Together trustee. With love, David. And David, of course, is now a student at Oklahoma State University, and based on what I see in Facebook, he has just dove right into that and is having a great time as a student. So that was David's resignation. That was the first resignation. The second resignation came right on the heels of it. In fact, 2 days later, May 24, 2015. And this is from Nikki. And one thing that's a little funny about Nikki and David is they live in the same town, Ardmore, Oklahoma. So we could say Ardmore, Oklahoma kind of resigned from the board in May. But this is what Nikki wrote. Dear Board of Awakening Together, I am writing to announce my resignation from the Member Board of Trustees effective 2 weeks from this date. Oh, so her letter came on the 24th, so really it was in June when she resigned. This was not an easy decision to make. The past year and a half has been very rewarding. I've enjoyed being a part of this team and feel honored to be a part of it. Thank you for the opportunities for growth that you have provided me. Life has simply been rearranged in a way that I cannot commit the time that I feel this position deserves. Sincerely, Nikki Dobson. And by the way, Nikki is also going to school. So both of them left the Member Board of Trustees in order to go to school. The third one, and by the way, I just noticed I don't have a date on this one, but it came in the summer. I think probably July. This is from Tom Conway. Jacqueline is here. She might remember the month when he resigned. I think it was in the month of July, but there's not a date on his letter. I may have to find one and put it on there. Anyway, here's what Tom says. Hi, Regina. I have made the decision to resign my position as a member board trustee. I want to express my deepest and most heartfelt gratitude to you for extending the opportunity to me to be a part of Awakening Together. The most rewarding part of the experience for me has been the opportunity to interact with one of a higher consciousness. That would be you. You are a wonderful and gentle teacher with unfettered willingness and patience. Thank you for all that you do and all you are. Love, Tom. And Tom, I think, just resigned because he was really just feeling in the heart not that involved anymore. Tom was primarily involved in the building process. He wrote most of our policies and procedures. And then I think as we move from the building process to day-to-day business, I think he just didn't feel as involved anymore. I think he really felt that his job was done. Jacqueline, if you feel I'm misstating this, feel free to correct me. And then the last resignation that we've had from the Member Board of Trustees is just a couple days ago, dated September 12th. Oh, he agrees. Okay. Yeah, that's what I got the sense of. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tom, for being here at the meeting. Okay, so the next resignation we have is from September 12, 2015, just a couple of days ago. This is from Teddy Poppy. He says, Dear Regina, as I do not want to be an obstacle in the pursuit of acceptance of church status by the IRS and U.S. government, please accept my resignation from the Board of Members. Being the publishers of some of the material owned by the organization, I would not want there to be a perceived conflict of interest. Thank you, Ted Poppy. And really, this resignation came about after a discussion of all of the Member Board of Trustees, a difficult discussion. But there are laws around nonprofit organizations, and it's really not okay to have people on your boards who are also profiting from the organization, because we're supposed to be nonprofit, which means no one is making a personal profit from what we do. And if someone is publishing your books, that is perceived as being in a position of profit. If they are also on your board of directors or your member board of trustees, that is perceived as a conflict of interest. And Teddy is the publisher of the Teachings of Inner Ramana. He is the publisher of the audio for NTI, as well as the publisher of the keys for NTI. So we were all very sad to let go of Teddy. We love Teddy very much, and of course he brought a uniqueness to the board that no one else will ever be able to replicate. But since we are inviting scrutiny right now by the IRS, we all felt that probably this potential conflict of interest should be removed. And so Teddy very generously and very sweetly agreed to resign. Yeah, it's a conflict of interest. So that's why Teddy is no longer on the Member Board of Trustees. It has nothing to do with anything else except the way that might be perceived by the IRS. And in fact, you know, things like that could not only cause us not to get church status, but could, if the IRS wanted to push it far enough, lead to us losing our religious organization status. So we could go backwards instead of forwards with that. So those are the resignations that we have received. Now, in addition to that, we had an election. And in our election, you nominated and elected three new member board trustees. The three new trustees that you elected are Gloria Wells. You also elected Sonia Spahn. And you elected Carrie Christensen. So they've all three attended one meeting so far, and they'll attend their second meeting in September. So the first meeting they were at was the really tough meeting where we were discussing potential conflicts of interest. So it was kind of a tough meeting, that first one that they saw. But they will be returning in September. I'm just going to read to you the full list of your member board of trustees. I notice Teddy's still here. I need to go and remove Teddy from the website. But here's your member board of trustees: Regina Dawn Akers, Jacqueline Eckert, Lynn Johnson, Jay McCormick, Jennifer Miley Nahulu, Ken Gibson, Carrie Christensen, Sonia Spahn, and Gloria Wells. So that's your current member board of trustees. So does anybody have any questions or any sharings on that agenda item before we move on? And I noticed, Jacqueline, you've written UGG. I don't know what the UGG is about. I don't know if you want to share. The last meeting. Yeah, the last meeting was a tough meeting. We don't like those kinds of meetings. But fortunately, one of the first decisions we made as Awakening Together is we decided to be a law-abiding organization. There are laws that govern nonprofits, and some organizations choose not to follow the laws. In fact, in our spirituality, I know of nonprofits in our spirituality that say, the world is not real, we do not have to follow the law. And we just decided that the law was also guidance, that the law and some, you know, the law came through our oneness for the benefit of all, and so we would follow the law. And that's what led to having to have this conflict of interest meeting, is because we were looking at the law and looking where we might be out of alignment. We've made other changes as well in order to follow the law. We are a law-abiding organization. And it gives us an opportunity to surrender sometimes, to surrender our personal preferences. And since we're here to let go of ego, it's wonderful to have these opportunities to surrender our personal preferences and just follow the law. Yeah. All right, then. The next thing that I'm going to share with you guys is, are they staying as members? Yeah, they're all still members, every one of them. In fact, Nikki and David are still ordained ministers with Awakening Together. So they're all members, and two of them are still ordained ministers. They are just not trustees anymore. All right. So the next thing on our agenda then was our mid-year financial report. Now, our mid-year financial report is not posted on the website. Only our end-of-year financial report is posted on the website. And the reason for that is mid-year things aren't complete yet. You know, so for example, you might have people giving us money in order to go to the fall retreat, so you see that money coming in, but we haven't paid the bills yet, and so you don't know the expenses. So it might look like, oh, look at all this money. But then we still have to pay the retreat center and all of these things. So the mid-year report is not a complete picture, and it can be misleading, and so we don't put it on the website, but I'm still going to go over it with you. At the end of the year, we do kind of have a complete picture of what the entire year looked like financially, and that gets posted on our website every year. So you can always go to our website under the members menu and look at our annual financial reports. But I'm going to give you, this is the financial report as of the end of the second quarter. So it's June 2015. And by the way, I can only share financial reports that have been approved by the board of directors. And since the third quarter isn't done yet, that hasn't been looked at and approved. So the second quarter is as much as I can share. But this is the first and second quarter, January through June 2015. At that point, donations. We had received $14,850 in donations. In addition to that, in December of the previous year, we received $60,000 donation to be applied towards my salary and Lynn's salary. So even though that donation was made in December of 2014, it gets applied to the 2015 year because it was given for the specific purpose of paying our salaries. So that donation is also included in this year's report. So that means we've had $14,850 from members plus a $60,000 donation for salaries, which is a total of $74,850 in donations at the end of the second quarter. In addition to that, and this is small, but it's cute, some of you may remember Amazon Smile. If you buy your books through Amazon Smile, they donate to Awakening Together if you ask them to. By the end of the second quarter, we've had $31.62 come to us through Amazon Smile. So it's small, but it's very cute. Also, we were paid in royalties in June for the sales of NTI from January through June, the first 6 months, and those royalties were $455. We get about a dollar per book, so that means about 455 NTI books were sold by the publisher in 6 months. We also had some retreat income. Some of that retreat income was a retreat that I did in New Jersey. And some of this retreat income is people that were already paying their deposits for the fall retreat that's still coming up. But the retreat income that we received in the first two quarters was $4,372. Oh, Jacqueline asked, how much do we get on each purpose, on each purchase on Amazon? It's 0.005, like that, I think. Actually, it might even be 0.05%, like that, 0.05%. So half a percent, right? Half a percent. All right, so again, retreat income that we had taken in by the end of the second quarter, $4,372. MPP income, people pay about $20 per class week, but we have about four or five MPP classes that are active right now. So in the first 6 months, our MPP income was $11,302. Also, the income that I made from speaking at the New York A Course in Miracles retreat, which when I say I made, it was for me speaking, but again, it goes to Awakening Together. I don't keep any of the money. Any money that I make belongs to Awakening Together. But for my speaker fee at that conference, $375. Also, book sales that we sell directly from the Regina Dawn Acres website, $874. Fundraising sales, this is basically the sales of Awakening Together t-shirts, $294. So our total income at the end of the second quarter was $93,387.98. Again, our total income at the end of the second quarter was $93,387.98. That includes the $60,000 that was donated for salaries. Now, as for our expenses, one pretty big expense that we have, depends on how you look at it, but it seems pretty big. Bank fees, mostly which are the PayPal fee, when people donate through PayPal or pay for MPP through PayPal, right? PayPal keeps a fee. So in the first 6 months, our bank fees were $686.92. So quite a bit going to primarily PayPal. There's also a couple of small fees with Wells Fargo where we have our accounts. Our primary operations costs include things like mailing, so when we mail books to people, when they order books, printing and copying like the trifold brochure that Lynn designed, office supplies like printer ink and paper and envelopes for mailing out NTI padded envelopes, telephone and telecommunications for Lynn's home office, all of our web licenses that we have with different organizations like the Awakening Together Radio that we have to pay a license for that. All of that is operations, and our total operations cost for the first 6 months is $2,218. Also, we give out scholarships for MPP when those scholarships are needed. So in the first 6 months, our MPP scholarships were $695.90. Our payroll expenses, this would be Lynn's salary and my salary for the first 6 months, $40,000. Oh, this also includes the Social Security tax and Medicare tax that is paid on salaries. $40,796. Facilitator fees. This is money paid to people who teach MPP if it's not me. I, of course, am not paid when I teach MPP because I'm paid a salary. But like if Jacqueline teaches MPP or Jay teaches MPP, we pay them. So that falls under facilitator fees, as well as when we have our monthly satsang, we pay $100 to the person who is our satsang guest. Sometimes they refuse that $100, but if they don't, we pay them $100. That also falls under facilitator fees. So our facilitator fees in the first 6 months were $1,000. Is that right? Let me just make sure my line isn't crooked here. Yep, $1,860 facilitator fees. Also, we have travel. Travel is related to, for example, me going to New York City this year. We had a travel expense. It did not cost us money to send me to Mexico. That was paid for by Jennifer Hadley. It did not cost us money to send me to Ireland. That was paid for by Miracle Mind in Ireland. In effect, it did not cost us money to send me to New York because we paid the money, but then he reimbursed us. So that shows back up later in another report. So we were reimbursed, but we paid it up front. We also had to pay for Jan Fraser to fly to the fall retreat. We're paying for Jacqueline Eckert, who will be the master of ceremonies to go to the fall retreat. We're paying for Ken Gibson, who's going to be our limo driver to the fall retreat. So all of this travel, our travel expenses at the end of the first 6 months, $3,337 total. That means our total expenses, $45,092.81 in the first 6 months. Total expenses, $45,092.81. Oh, no, I'm wrong. I'm looking at the wrong line. Forgive me. Not much wrong, but I was looking at the wrong line. Our total expenses are $48,295.17. Again, total expenses, $48,295.17. When you take the expenses away from the income, what's left is $45,092. So, again, our income in the first 6 months was $93,387. Our expenses were $48,295. That leaves $45,092. However, remember, some of that money was allocated to pay our salaries, my salary and Lynn's salary. So if you subtract out the amount that is set aside from that donation for our salaries for the rest of the year, which is $42,324, that leaves $2,769. So we had a net income of $45,092 minus $42,324, which is set aside to pay salaries for the next 6 months. That leaves a positive number of $2,769 for the year. So that's pretty good. We're positive and not negative. And again, we're a nonprofit. So, you know, positive $2,769 with all of the salaries paid and the bills so far paid and everything is pretty good. So that's our first 6 months operating budget. Does anybody have any questions about the first 6 months operating budget before I go to letting you know about the money that was raised for the retreat center? Yeah, we're in the black. That's always good news when you're a nonprofit. I suppose it's a good news when you're a for-profit, too, but a for-profit company would want to be much more in the black. We just want to be in the black. We're doing good. Yeah, we're doing good. All right, then. Let me talk about, and I mentioned to you guys that we had $14,850 in donations in the first 6 months, not including the salary donation. That also does not include the money that you guys have donated for the retreat center. That's kept in a separate account, and it shows up in a separate report. What I brought with me today, because this one doesn't have to be approved by the board of directors, what I brought with me today is the amount of money that we have to date. So this is the money as of September 13, 2015. The money that we currently have for the retreat center is $34,127.06. Again, we currently have $34,127.06. Now, $18,314, actually it's $314.99, so $315. $18,315 has been donated by you. The other $16,000 is money that was in the bank that the board of directors decided to transfer to the retreat center. So $16,000 was money we already had on hand that was transferred to the retreat center. $18,314 was donated by you. So we have a total of $34,127. And again, this is for the Awakening Together Retreat Center. By the way, let me just talk briefly about where that money that came from in the bank. Prior to becoming Awakening Together, when we were the foundation for the Holy Spirit, and I would travel, and speak at retreats and stuff and get paid, all of that money went to Foundation for the Holy Spirit, and we did not need to use it to pay my salary because my salary was donated by someone else. So the money that I, quote, earned for the foundation, some of it was used for operational costs because, we still had operational costs and stuff, but a lot of it just accumulated, and that's where our savings account came from. So we had some money when we became Awakening Together that had built up from the time that we were Foundation for the Holy Spirit. And right now, the board of directors every month transfers $2,000 from that savings that had built up in our past to the retreat center account. So that's why we now have $16,000 that's been transferred. And, as of October 1, another $2,000, November 1, another $2,000, until the board decides not to make that transfer anymore. So again, we're up to $34,127. Any questions about the retreat center savings or anything about the retreat center before I go on to the next agenda item? And by the way, Lynn, I notice it's 1 minute after the hour. Do I have time to continue, or is there something that's coming up now that I should stop for? You have all the time you want. Okay, I'm almost done, actually, but I will continue, Sin, if there's nobody right after me. Where'd my agenda go? Oh, here it is. I wrote Robbie's email address on the back of it. Okay, so that was our financial status review. So the next thing on the agenda is an update regarding the fall retreat. We do have a fall retreat scheduled for the very end of October and the first week of November. I'm sure you all know about this. We have a retreat with Jan Frazier for 2 days. a retreat with Regina Dawn Akers during the week, and then a retreat with Bentinho Massaro for 2 days. And right now, as it stands, we are about half full for the Jan Frazier and the Bentinho Massaro retreats, and we are pretty much full for the Regina Dawn Akers retreat. However, we are able to make some changes. There's another building that we did not rent out rooms from during the week for the Regina Dawn Akers retreat. And so I think Jacqueline is going to talk to the retreat center and see if we can get some more rooms from that other building for the Regina Dawn Akers retreat. So even though it's full, I think that we can get more rooms. Yeah, Jacqueline's saying we can get more rooms. So even though it's full, we'll get those more rooms so people can continue to register for that retreat. We can take registrations up until October 15th. And then at that point, I think we have to tell the retreat center how many people are coming. Also, we do have a contract. We have a certain number of rooms that we must fill by contract. And if we don't fill those rooms, we have to pay 50% of the room cost anyway. We try to be very conservative in our contract, and I don't think we're going to have any problems, but just to let you know, there's always a financial risk whenever you plan a retreat, and right now Jacqueline and I are keeping an eye on that risk. She says, invite your friends to the Jan Frazier retreat. That might mean there's a little bit of a risk there, but usually we do have lots of people register in the last month. This happens almost every time. So hopefully everything will turn out. But right now we are not in the black for our fall retreat. If we were to go with it today, we would be in the red. But that can all change in the next month. But if you can help us spread the word to let people know about this retreat, that's great. I think all three retreats will be wonderful retreats. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. There's a few differences between our retreat and some of the other retreats that are out there available to go to. One is that our prices include the retreat, the meals, and the room. And for some retreats, that's not true. For example, when you go to the Course in Miracles conferences each year, the price does not include the room. You have to get the room separate. But our prices include all three. Barb is asking, are there scholarships available? Yes, there are scholarships available. People can apply for scholarships. I think we have 2 rounds of scholarships. The first round has already been awarded, and the second round will be awarded at the end of September. So you need to get your application in soon, and you can find the applications on the Awakening Together website underneath Events Fall Retreat. Yeah, and you'll see it if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see Jan's picture, my picture, Bentinho's picture. But if you scroll to the bottom, you'll see a link there for scholarships. And you click on that, and that will tell you how to apply. Typically, when you get a scholarship, you're still asked to pay the deposit on your own. But the rest of it could be waived by the scholarship. Jacqueline, since you're the one managing the fall retreat, is there anything that you want to share before I leave this part of the agenda about the fall retreats? No. Oh, I know. I did want to share one more difference between our retreats and some of the other retreats. The retreat leaders that we have selected speak from and teach from direct experience rather than from intellectual study and intellectual knowledge. Sometimes at retreats you have people that, for example, have been studying the course for a very long time. They know the course very, very well, but they will tell you that they are still going through all of the same struggles. They have no awakening experience or purification experience yet. We select people who will be able to speak from direct experience, either direct experience of awakening, of that shift that is called awakening, or direct experience of having let go of false beliefs, of having truly experienced a purification and the death of some false beliefs. So that's also, I think, an important difference, to come and talk to people who have direct experience. So again, yeah, Jan Frazier is October 30 to November 1, Regina Dawn Akers, November 1 to November 6, and Bentinho Massaro, November 6 to November 8. You can register for 1, 2, or all three. Yeah, thank you, Jacqueline. We also have a shuttle available for a very low cost. If you fly into the Colorado Springs Airport, our shuttle will pick you up and take you to the retreat center and then later take you back to the airport for $30 round trip. If you fly into Denver, you can take a public shuttle to a hotel nearby, and our shuttle will pick you up at that hotel and take you to the retreat center or back, and that's only, I think it was $10 round trip because it's a much shorter trip. So be aware that we do have that shuttle ride available, so nobody needs to rent cars or anything like that. The only expense that you'll have over the cost of the retreat is your own flights. Everything else is really included, or the small shuttle fee. All right, any questions about the fall retreat before I go on to our final agenda item, which is next week's online satsang? All right, then. Next week's online satsang. We have a monthly satsang the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. And next week our guest is John Mark Stroud, S-T-R-O-U-D. And, in fact, his website is johnmarkstroud.com. Let me just type that in for you. There you go, John Mark Stroud. Oh, I couldn't type it in because I'm not logged in as an admin. Maybe somebody else could do that. I can type it in without the www. I have the K. Am I wrong about the K? Let me double check. I have John Mark Stroud like that, but let me look and see if I'm wrong. Let me see. Oh, you know what? Actually, it's not even johnmarkstroud.com. I think I typed that in. It does have a K, but it changed itself to One Who Wakes. onewhowakes.org. So if you type in johnmarkstroud.com, it will take you to onewhowakes.org. But One Who Wakes is the name of his website. I'm going to share a little bit with you about his background. I think you guys will find this interesting. If you don't know John Mark Stroud, I think you'll find this very interesting. So here we go. And his name, Mark, has a K. It's John Mark with a K. And then S-T-R-O-U-D. All right, here we go. In early 2011, I experienced a spiritual awakening. It is sometimes referred to as enlightenment. That experience deeply and radically changed my life. The months following the enlightenment were spent in deep silence and stillness. Being a relative newcomer to the spiritual path, I also spent 3 months studying great teachings in order to place the awakening experience into a context that would allow the universal truth to be communicated to all. This truth passes all religion, dogma, and creed. The truth about our very nature is limitless, eternal, all-loving, and ever-present. And I want to read to you some of the materials that he studied. This is the list that I think you're going to find interesting. He has studied, let's see, he went to Oneness University in India for 1 month in December of 2010. After returning home from there, he studied A Course in Miracles. He says, after returning home, he studied a little bit before going, and then he studied again coming back. He says, after returning home from the Oneness University, I continued my work with A Course in Miracles, but instead of studying it, it served to further illuminate the deepest truths of what I had recently experienced. He also began to read The Course in Love by Mari Perrone, The Way of Mastery by J.M., I Am the Word, I'm not familiar with that one, and of course he practiced meditation, and he also paid attention to some Zen koans. So that's a little bit about John Mark Stroud. He loves comedy. He loves humor. So again, many of you all are interested. His website is onewhowakes.org. onewhowakes.org. And, you know, he's interested in a lot of the same things that you all are interested in, like A Course in Miracle, A Course in Miracles, The Course of Love, The Way of Mastery, you know, Oneness Blessing. So I thought you guys would probably find him very interesting. So he will be here next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So please come and listen to and even speak with. Remember, you're allowed to raise your hand and ask your own questions when we have an online satsang. So please come and speak to him and ask your own questions next Sunday night. Now that's all that I have on the agenda. I mentioned to you all that I would, at the end, if you had any questions or comments that you wanted to share about anything about Awakening Together, you could do so. So we're now at that part of the meeting. So does anybody have anything at all that they would like to take the mic and either say or ask? All right, Barb, the mic is yours.
Hi. I was going to type this in, but I had mentioned this before when I had shared about seeing Jan Frazier earlier. Hi, Jacqueline. I had seen Jan Frazier earlier this year, and I can tell you that after having been to more than one Awakening Together retreats where we're all housed in the same place, pretty much, most everyone, where you interact around breakfast, lunch, and dinner, where you have time to be together when the presenter isn't, you know, presenting, that I find that the communion with each other is really crucial, as well as meeting these wonderful people. So I would highly recommend the retreats because of that, the interpersonal connection that you make with others there that are attending, which I did not get when I went to the Jan Frazier retreat because everybody left and they were all staying at separate hotels. And I missed that, and I hadn't really known that I would miss it until I went to a different kind of retreat, and we didn't have that. And that's why it's really wonderful to be able to do these retreats where we all stay, or most everybody stays in the same place. So that's my pitch for this. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the people that are in the room to actually meet each other. So thank you all, and I just thought I'd share that, and trusting the right people will go, the right people. The people that need to go will go. I guess maybe that's another way to say it, but the people that will go. And thanks a lot, and let me go to Mike.
Thank you, Barb. Yeah, that's another important point. It really is just a time also for all of us to get together. And that's lots of fun as well. We, you know, we join together. We get to know each other very well in this online room, our sanctuary. But it is also wonderful to get together and be able to actually hug. So another good reason to come to the annual retreat that's being held this year in Colorado Springs. Aloha, Ravi. Does anybody else have anything they would like to share before we close our quarterly meeting? Okay, then the next class that we're having, you're talking about the MPP class? The MPP class that we have, yes, the next MPP class that is currently open and can be registered for is Jesus of the New Testament. And in this class, we go in and we read the New Testament directly. It's not NTI, it's the New Testament. And we contemplate the New Testament just as mystics have for hundreds of years. And we find those deeper, truer meanings that are right there in the New Testament that usually are overlooked by the common Christian community. But again, you know, people like Joel Goldsmith and Meister Eckhart and, you know, all of these Christian mystics, whether Catholic or Protestant, have contemplated the Bible and found these truths. And so that's what we will do in the Jesus of the New Testament. We will contemplate, feel, learn, hear from inner wisdom and see these deeper truths that are already in the New Testament. Yeah, there are two start dates. There's a Tuesday class that starts on September 29th. That class will be 4 weeks long in the evenings from 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern Time, and Jay McCormick will be the facilitator. There's also a morning class Wednesday mornings. It starts September 30th. It will be from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, and I will be the facilitator. Now, each class, the homework, which is reading from the New Testament and contemplating what you read, using some questions to help you contemplate, that homework begins a week before the class. So the last day to register for the classes is September 22nd. And then I send you the workbook that you need so that you can do the homework. And the cost of the class is $80. It's a four-week class, $20 a week, so it's $80 fee. And that's that. And you can find information about that class if you want more by going to the Awakening Together website and looking under the classes menu. Another thing, you know, you might want to do just for fun is if you go to the events menu. I've had pictures from some of our events in the past that I meant to get uploaded and didn't have time, but in the last week I did. So if you go to our events menu and look under past events, you can see pictures from some of our past retreats. So that's a lot of fun. And that's all kind of new. That wasn't there before. All right, anything else? I guess one thing I do want to say also, remember we have a weekly prayer circle. It used to be in the morning, but now that prayer circle is on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's to me, it's a wonderful time of day because that time of day I'm usually kind of slowing down anyway. So it's nice to come and sit in stillness for half an hour in honor of the prayers that have been submitted to us. So if you can come to prayer circle on Thursdays at 6 p.m. and just be still with us, joined with us in half an hour while I read off the prayers. Or if you want to submit a prayer, you can send your prayer to regina.awakeningtogether@gmail.com. regina.awakeningtogether@gmail.com, and your prayer will be read during prayer circle. But if you just want to come and just be still with us, you know, in that late afternoon, early evening time, depending on your location, come and just sit and be still with us for half an hour, please come to prayer circle. We really enjoy joining with you all then. And so what I'm going to do now is just take a little break. Oops. Regina.awakening.com. I see. Yeah, it's regina.awakeningtogether@gmail.com. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to take a little break. I will be back in 40 minutes for our daily contemplation of our daily quote. So I will see you guys then. Thank you very much for showing up for the quarterly meeting. Our next quarterly meeting, by the way, the member meeting, will be the first Sunday in December. The first Sunday in December at 8 p.m. is our next quarterly meeting. But, of course, that will be announced in Facebook and through our weekly gatherings and on our updates, our daily update as well. But I hope to see you then. And everybody have a nice evening. Maybe I'll see you in 40 minutes for our daily contemplation. Bye.